Grab your beverages and turn up your interweb. Solving the world's problems 12 ounces at a time. It's Dudes and Beer.
I am Chris Jordan, your host. Just a reminder, Dudes and Beer is now officially brought to you by Audible. If you're a fan of audiobooks, anything like that, do please stop on by audibletrials.com/dudesandbeer, and you will get 30 days free. You'll get 2 free downloads of books. It's a great way to keep up on reading, things like that, if you're a busy person on the road, as I am. So go on, check it out, audibletrials.com/dudesandbeer. I am so happy tonight to welcome our regular guest, Michael Cargolon. I saw some stuff coming out, and of course, he had just released the fact that he had a new lawsuit pending, and I was like, I would like you to come on and talk about that, because everybody knows you from news spots from Central Texas Gunworks, things like that. You're always out front in many parades here in town, that kind of stuff, but a lot of people do not understand the activist that is Michael Cargill. What was it that brought you to step foot into the realm of social activism, Michael?
Well, it goes all the way back to when I was in the military. I actually served 12 years in the United States Army. And when I was in the military, my grandmother decided that at 70 years old, she was going to go back to college to get a college degree. And while my grandmother was traveling from a college campus, sitting at a bus stop waiting for a bus to come, a guy came along, mugged her, and raped her. And that's why I decided I wanted to, you know, I wanted my family members to take their own personal safety in their own hands. And that's why I started teaching handgun license courses. That's why I opened the gun store.
And, you know, we also have Matthew here, who is one of the people that works with you at Central Texas Gunworks. How long have you been doing social activism, going and speaking in front of the state Congress and the like?
I've been doing it for quite a while. I wanted to make sure that the little guy can actually have their voices heard at the Texas legislature, because a lot of times, you know, you have a lot of lobbyists, you know, they're paid to go there and speak for different organizations and different groups. But then the person at the bottom, that little guy, you know, a little lady, their voices were not being heard. So I felt like, hey, you know what? I'm going to be that voice. And so that's why I stepped up to the plate, started going to the Capitol, spending, you know, and I'm not a lobbyist. I'm just a regular old guy that spends his time going to the Capitol at, you know, whether it's 8 o'clock in the morning until 12, 1 o'clock in the morning the next day. You know, standing around waiting for a bill to be heard to, you know, to give my 3 minutes for that particular bill so I can either support it or kill the bill. And so I thought that was very important, and it makes a difference. It definitely makes a difference.
It makes a huge difference because so many times, I mean, right now I actually just had a very good friend of mine whose son is a person of special needs and was actively attacked at his group home in Dallas. And his mother just came and spoke yesterday. We recorded an episode that will be coming out soon regarding the laws for special needs people. And not everybody knows the raging gaps in the laws for healthcare, for group homes, things like that, for people with special needs. And I was like, you have no idea what it does for the cause of this person that is proffering the bill for you to come down from Dallas and spend 3 minutes to tell Paul's story and to be able to do that. So many people don't take the time to either get involved and understand the laws that are being passed locally. Federally is one thing. Everybody sees that. It's in the national spotlight all the time. But when it comes to local laws, that kind of stuff, a lot of people, it just kind of flies under the radar. They don't really tune into their local access channel that hosts the public meetings, that kind of thing, much less the state house, state senate, things like that, Michael.
Right. Yeah, it doesn't happen enough. You have, you know, what I like to do is I like to get the media involved in you know, our voice, you know, our side of the house, because the media is so focused on what's happening in the mainstream. The media is so focused on, you know, what big business and big government wants you to know. And so what I try to do is give that voice to let people know that, hey, you know, there's another side to, you know, what people, the little guy, really want, you know. And so that's, you know, that's where I step up to the plate, and that's where I come in, you know, as far as like standing up, you know, against the federal government when it comes to bump stocks, as far as standing up to the city of Austin when it comes to license holders being able to carry handgun in City Hall. That's where I come in play, because I want to make sure, hey, you know what? We have a voice and we have an outlet where we can stand up and say, you know what? We're not going to take it anymore. I'm not going to take what you're saying. You're not following the law. If I was to do something and I break the law, then, you know, you're going to put me underneath the jail. Yeah. So I need to make sure that our elected officials are held to the same standard that we're held to.
And you recently fought off lawsuit from a local police department, whenever you brought up issues with them and issues with one of the higher ups in the police department actively procuring cocaine, things like that.
And see, the one thing about me is I don't discriminate. You know, I don't care whether if you're a law enforcement, I don't care if you're, you know, if you're a big business or whatever, small business, or whatever. If I see that someone's doing something wrong, I'm going to bring that up. And so, you know, yeah, exactly. In the city of Austin, you know, we had a law enforcement officer, a young lady came forward and said, hey, this officer did something in her presence and it needed to be brought up. It needed to be recognized by his leadership, since he's a police officer, a senior police officer in the Austin Police Department. And so I gave her that outlet on my radio show, Come and Talk It. And it allowed her to come forward to, you know, say, hey, this is what I witnessed. This is what I saw. This is what I experienced. And this was a senior member of the Austin Police Department. So because of that, you know, they filed a lawsuit. And, hey, you know, we're fighting. I fight everything. You know, I don't care. You know, I don't care where it comes from, whether you're a police officer, whether it's the Department of Justice, whether it's the ATF. You know, if I see something wrong, then I'm going to fight it. I'll fight it to my last dying breath.
Well, and that brings us, of course, directly to the reason I had you on today, suing the federal government. You recently filed suit against the ATF for the bump stock ban. Now, before we get into that real quick, two honest questions. Number one, did you sell a lot of bump stocks?
Yes, we did sell some bump stocks. We didn't sell a whole bunch.
Yeah,
And honestly, bump stocks, it's a really unstable device. You know, if this guy actually used a bump stock in Las Vegas to shoot those people in Las Vegas, then you know what? The fact that he used a bump stock, he wasn't able to kill as many people. If he had not used a bump stock, he would have been able to kill more people. So it's not some stable device, you know. So and someone's going to get upset with me when I say this, but the bump stock actually saved lives because it's just unstable.
Yeah.
If you want to shoot rapidly, you want to shoot multiple rounds as fast as you possibly can and shoot as many people as you possibly can, then you will not use a bump stock, because the bump stock originally was put, you know, into play so that wounded veterans will be able to shoot again. And so it's not something that's, you know, used for accuracy. It's just something that's used so, you know, veterans or wounded, you know, individuals with wounded limbs will be able to fire a rifle.
Yeah. And the point I was trying to make was that it was not like it was a substantial part of your business, the sale of bump stocks. It wasn't anything like, oh, my God, we're about to lose 15% of our sales, guys, because they just banned bump stocks. Not the case. Explain to the audience out there exactly why it was that you decided to file suit against the ATF specifically for the bump stock ban, Michael.
Yeah, so it's because the ATF is the agency that actually is regulating this. The ATF is the one that originally said, you know, back when President Obama was the president, that bump stocks were actually legal. And so his administration, you know, put this out there and did the research and everything. So now speed forward, you know, here we go under President Trump in his administration saying, hey, with the ATF, that bump stocks are now illegal. And so what we're saying is the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, the Department of Justice cannot, you know, they don't have that authority to really regulate firearms. That we're saying that that authority really, you know, lies with the, you know, with Congress. And basically, you know, we're going back in so many words and we're saying, hey, you know, the Constitution does not allow lawmaking by shortcut, and new criminal laws must be passed by both houses of Congress and signed really into law by the president. You know, that did not happen here is basically what we're saying in our lawsuit. And it's, there's a lot of pages and we're saying that, hey, if, you know, if the courts permit the attorney general to get away with passing the, you know, this rule, then which turns out 500,000 Americans into felons overnight. And just so you know, in Texas, you know, we had a manufacturer actually had to destroy 60,000 bump stocks. You know, we're saying millions of dollars in Texas alone was lost. And they're not being compensated for that. The federal government said, hey, you need to destroy this millions of dollars worth of inventory, and we're not going to compensate you for it.
Yeah.
That is ridiculous. You know, let's walk into your house and let's grab, you know, whether it's 50%, 40% of your, you know, things that you own in your home and say, hey, you need to destroy it.
Hey.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, exactly. So if the courts permit, you know, the attorney general to get away with passing this rule, which turns, you know, like I said, 500,000 Americans into felons overnight, nothing will stop a rogue attorney general from turning millions more law-abiding citizens into felons in the future. You know, so right now, today it's bump stocks. Tomorrow it could be the 30-round magazine or it can be a grip. You know, we're talking about a part, a piece. So there's nothing down the road that's going to stop them from doing this. So if we don't stop this now, then, you know, down the road, we're all going to be screwed without a grease.
Well, and, you know, that is, of course, one of the concerns that's out there is that if you're going to ban an accessory, then how long before the firearm itself is banned? And of course, I mean, I enjoy shooting. I actually just purchased a rifle today from Central Texas Gunworks.
So. Oh, did you?
Yes, I did.
Oh, nice.
Yes, I did. I finally purchased my Luger 10/22 takedown. I have wanted one for a long, long time, and I finally ordered one. I pulled the string, and I was like, yeah, I'm going to get back out and start shooting again. It's a great rifle to, I've got a small son, so as he comes up of age, it'll be a perfect size for him to be able to shoot with. And it, you know, I'm one of those people that sure I've spent my fair share of time shooting a 30-round magazine, 50-round drum mags. It's super fun, but not every rifle is necessitating that.
Right.
I guess the real question that comes to bear is if there is some kind of ban that takes place, just like the bump stock ban, how do you go about regulating that? Because the bump stock ban went through, but you haven't seen a whole lot of bump stocks turned in.
No, they're
across the country.
There are close to a million bump stocks in this country. And as far as we know, a little over 60,000 have been turned in.
Mm.
And actually 60,000.
Okay, you know, so
from the manufacturer here in Austin.
6%.
Right. And so, you know, a few hundred over that,
sure,
you know, have actually been turned in. So, no, you're not going to see people turn them in. Matter of fact, I when the federal government said, hey, we're going to ban bump stocks, I literally had this lady who was like 90 years old call me up and she said, Mike, I need to get myself a bump stock. I said, well, ma'am, why do you want a bump stock? She said, well, because they say they're going to ban it. I said, well, ma'am, do you even know what a bump stock is? She said, no, but I want it because they're going to ban it.
Mm-hmm.
And literally, that's what it did. You know,
yeah.
As soon as the federal government says they're going to ban something, people go out searching for it because they want to get their hands on it.
Yeah. Yeah. It is that thrillist mentality of, you know, get it before it's gone.
Oh, absolutely.
And I don't know. For me, I've never seen the point in using one. For what you're talking about, absolutely allowing people who enjoyed shooting at one point, who spent a lifetime shooting, and now maybe they're not able to shoot, that helps them. Great, fantastic. But you were actually on Dudes and Beer right after the Mandalay Bay shooting happened, before it came out, that it was a bump stock that was in use. And I remember you saying it seemed like that.
Right.
And to see where things have gone.
But see, it really doesn't matter. People get caught up in the bump stock. They get caught up, you know, in what people are saying, that's what it was. What if he used a machine gun?
Yeah.
He could have. You know why? Because this guy was rich.
Sure.
He had the money. He had a great background check.
Yeah.
He would have been able to walk into a gun store.
Mm-hmm.
He would have been able to identify a machine gun that he wanted. He would have been able to pass the background check. All he had to do was pay a $200 tax, pass the background check, fill out some paperwork, a form 4, would have been able to get his fingerprints done, his photo taken, and get a trust or whatever he wanted to put it in, and then turn that paperwork into the ATF in about 10 months, even own that bump stock. I mean, own that machine gun. Yeah. So what? Let's say he did it with a machine gun. It wouldn't have made a difference. You cannot regulate crazy because a person is dead set on killing someone. They're going to kill someone. This guy owned his own plane. So let's say, what if he want to, you know, grab his plane and actually fly into the concert?
Like the gentleman did here in Austin.
Then what are we going to do?
Years ago into the IRS office.
Are we going to say we're going to ban planes? You know, no, that's not going to happen.
It is a hairy line to cross because there is no clear black and white there. And like you said, you're banning an accessory.
Right.
I don't see how it helps anything other than to maybe quell some fear.
I think this guy was experimenting. If he did do it by himself, he was definitely experimenting, you know, and seeing if he can, you know, not actually execute something like this if he did it by himself. You know, but that's all down the road, and that's a whole another show.
Yeah.
You know, because Las Vegas has the best security system, the best camera system in the world.
Sure they do.
So if they don't know by now, I mean, they should have known 5 minutes after it happened.
Oh, they closed the case. That's the creepy thing. I have a couple guys on that are actively making a documentary about all of it, but that's the scary thing is that almost two years down the road, not even, case closed, no motive found. Just business as usual, moving on down the line, everybody. Nothing to see here. Please disperse.
Yeah. And then as far as the bump stocks, what we're saying, you know, in our case, you know, that I brought forward, thanks to my law firm that's based out of Washington, D.C., we're bringing on several different counts against the federal government. We actually filed a lawsuit against William Barr, who's the Attorney General for the United States. We filed a lawsuit against the United States Department of Justice. We filed a lawsuit against Thomas Brandon, who is the acting director for the Alcohol Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. And we're actually suing the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives as well, the ATF. And so what we're saying, there's several counts that we're saying that, hey, where they're violating our rights. One of those is we're saying that, hey, you know, they're violating our constitutional obligations by amending the congressional approved statuses. And then that's count one. We're saying, hey, they have non-divestment is what we're saying as far as count two. We're in count three. We're saying, hey, they're in violation of U.S. Constitutional Articles 1 and 1 and 2 and 3 in violation of the separation of powers because it's not up to the ATF to do this, up to Congress to do this. We're saying that they're in violation of the U.S. Constitution in several articles that where the defendants lack statutory and therefore constitutional authority to issue the final rule. We're saying, hey, you know, they're in violation of the Administrative Procedure Act, USC 706. We're saying they rule in excess of statutory authority and otherwise not in accordance with the law. We're saying, hey, you know, you're in violation of an Administrative Procedure Act as far as arbitrary and capricious. And I always get that wrong.
Yes.
Go ahead.
And I was going to say, this. Just so you know, the charges he's reading off right now, he's about to read charges from page 33 of 38. That's how deep this goes.
Yeah, because we're planning on this lawsuit, you know, we're saying, hey, this is going to go all the way to the Supreme Court. My attorneys with the law firm, they started off, you know, filing a lawsuit in Utah. And we're filing one in Texas, and we're saying, hey, we're planning on getting different decisions from the different court of appeals. And then as we go forward, we're saying, hey, the Supreme Court is going to have to take this up because we're going to get two different opinions, we believe, or two different, you know, thoughts of how
easily,
this should go.
Yeah. Easily.
So also we're saying that rule in excess of statutory authority. They don't have the authority to do this once again. We're saying that the interpretation of the National Firearms Act and Gun Control Act in excess of statutory authority and in violation of the Constitution. We're saying and we're demanding relief. I'm demanding that the ATF, the DOJ, return the bump stocks back to the people. Because this is a part, it's not a machine gun. We're saying that the ATF cannot change the definition of what a machine gun is. They don't have that authority. The authority lies only with Congress. The way laws are passed in this country is it has to go through the House, to the Senate, to the President to be approved. You know, the DOJ, the ATF cannot change a definition. They cannot change the law. They cannot regulate, you know, to that extent. That is for Congress only.
Yeah, and that's what we absolutely want to get straight here, folks, is that is the reason that you are raising the lawsuit to begin with, is that the ATF, through regulating these items, has fully overstepped their bounds. They have gone through extrajudiciary process and gone through extra-congressional process to basically enact a law that does not exist.
Right, exactly. And you know, for years, the ATF, you know, has said that bump stocks were not machine guns at all, you know, under the law. Mm-hmm. And now it's saying that the opposite, which means that hundreds of thousands, like I said before, of law-abiding Americans who relied on the ATF's approval of bump stocks under the Obama administration are suddenly now felons under the Trump administration. And that's not how, you know, law in America should work.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, like you were saying earlier, hey, if you want to pass a law, feel free, Congress, to get together, pass a law, compensate everybody for the lost items, you know, what have you, and done. But you can't just, as the ATF, go out and start enforcing a law that you can't write.
Yeah. What'd you say? What do you say?
Matt?
Yes.
Well, you've been around the store. You've seen this stuff happen since the beginning.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you think about bump stock? Just as someone who is
I had a friend who had one on a 22 caliber long rifle, and I watched his videos of him shooting, and it looked like a whole lot of fun. I mean, I would never own one on a rifle because, like,
sure,
like Mike said, I was watching that thing jam every other, say, full length of pull he was getting off that.
Yeah, yeah.
And it would jam up. He would have to do a tap rack bang, clear the magazine, tap it back in, clear the chamber, and then go at it some more. But from the looks of it, it was fun. But like I said, it runs your guns hard. It puts excessive loads on your gun, so it's not really for me. But it's that same thing. ATF comes in, says this is now illegal. They overstep their bounds. And then what's to stop them from going even further? I mean, right now we have a representative running for president, who has already said on Twitter he has no problem nuking us for not giving up our guns, who has also said he'd like to ban all military-grade weapons. Please explain to me what a military-grade weapon is.
Yeah.
And not only that, anybody who refuses a mandatory buyback he's proposing would be jailed.
Yeah. Well, and you know, that's it. That to me is where the issue comes in, is mandatory anything. I'm not a big fan of mandatory anything. I mean, I utterly see the point in proper gun legislation, which we have most of the way around, in all reality. I know you guys there at Central Texas Gunworks do a great job with all of the background checks, that kind of stuff. And the situations of gun stores that don't do that are pretty few and far between. They are not the raging case that's going on.
What people don't realize is that at Central Texas Gunworks, we actually transfer more firearms than any gun store in the entire state of Texas, according to the ATF last year. The ATF actually came down, did an inspection, you know, of the store, and they said, my goodness, you guys are transferring so many firearms, whether it's a transfer with someone bought a gun online and through someone else and had it delivered to our store. They bought it from us, from our website, bought it from us inside the store, wherever. You know, we actually transfer more firearms than any gun store in the entire state of Texas. There are times that we actually receive, the majority of the year, we can receive, especially during the week, 50 to 100 guns a day. 50 to 100.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a lot. And so, you know, when they come to inspect, the ATF walks in the door, you know, whatever day throughout the week, and say, hey, how you doing? We're the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, and we're here to inspect every piece of paper, every firearm, and every transaction.
Yeah.
You know, for however long they want to inspect it for. And so, you know, and it's happened. It happens every single year. So every year they come to me and they walk in the door and say, hey, we're here to inspect you. And, you know, you have to make sure you follow the rules, the regulations, and all that stuff, because it's not that they'll put you out of business, is that they will put you in jail.
Yeah.
Because it's a felony if you violate the law.
Yeah. And it's a pretty big federal felony. It's not like your state and local felonies. it carries some pretty hard and long repercussion with
it. Yeah, so a $25 FFL transaction, you know, someone thinks, oh man, come on, you know, I know my driver's license is not up to date, you know, but can you let this slide? That transaction can actually put me in jail because I'm the FFL dealer.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, once again, the whole reason for your lawsuit is basically to say, hey, government, pass your laws properly. Make sure that you're anything that you're trying to regulate, that you're actively passing a law to regulate it.
Yeah. The purpose is, it's not, you know, about me. And it's really not about bump stocks.
No.
It's about the federal government. An agency within the federal government, a department within the federal government, has stepped down. They said, you know what? We're going to regulate this part, this piece. And not only are we going to regulate it, we're going to ban it. Not only are we going to ban it, we're going to make you turn it in, and we're going to destroy it. Not only are we going to destroy it or make you turn it in, we're not going to give you money for it. And that is unheard of.
Yeah.
This is the United States of America. This is not Russia. This is not China. This is not Japan. This is not any other country. This is the United States. And yeah,
it wasn't a contraband item that you brought into the country and then they caught you with it and said, hey, look at that. You got a warehouse and knockoff Sony VCRs.
It was something that you purchased legally.
Yeah.
You know, you paid with your hard-earned money. And you say, you know what? I'm going to buy this piece, this part.
Well, and the manufacturers went out and made legally by the definition of the law under which it was written.
Because under a different administration.
This is a legal part to make.
On the Obama administration, yeah. I can't stress that enough. I want everyone to know that President Obama, his administration, approved bump stocks. Hard it makes you feel, you know, whether you want to admit it or not, the Obama administration approved bump stocks. The Obama administration also, President Obama himself, with his pen, signed into law that you can actually carry a firearm in a national park. Yes. The President Obama did that. Under his administration, President Obama said, you know what? You can carry it. There's a procedure for you to carry a firearm on Amtrak. President Obama administration did that. Under the Trump administration.
I didn't realize that.
Yes. Under the Trump administration, we have gun control. We have gun confiscation or a part under the Trump administration. Let that sink in.
Yeah, and it, you know, it's funny because my wife has said, like, it's really interesting how actually democratic a lot of his stuff is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I hope it's salty for some people.
Well, because, you know, there, like we were saying earlier, there is some great gun legislation that already exists. There are already background checks. There's already mm-hmm. the necessity for federal background check. There's already necessity for federal gun transfers, that kind of stuff. So when it does come to an accessory, like, but there haven't been a whole lot of other mass shootings that have happened. Mm-hmm. And that seems to be what predicates a lot of the modern gun law mm-hmm. That comes about, is what's the flavor of the day with the mass shooting. I mean, that's absolutely horrifying to say, but it's true. That's when we start seeing that, an election cycle is when we start seeing the real outcries for more harsh gun control, more harsh gun legislation, things like that. And like you were saying, there is a pretty well-defined definition of what is a machine gun, what is a fully automatic firearm, as opposed to what's a semi-automatic firearm.
And we have a definition for that.
Yeah. Yeah, and that was made up by Congress.
Right.
That was
passed. It's already established. It's already in law. Mm-hmm. You know, the definition of what a machine gun is, and it's clearly not a bump stock.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it has to do with the actual firing mechanism of the gun itself.
That is correct.
And like Matt was saying, the way the bump stock works really kind of cheats the way that the gun system itself is supposed to work.
Oh, yes.
Which can cause fouls, can cause issues.
Mm-hmm.
You know, while it might be fun to use, it's not necessarily the most responsible way to use your firearm, people. you can go out and buy a nitrous kit for your friggin' Toyota Camry, yeah, too.
The funny thing is,
but should you?
When you fire, when you fire a gun at that rate, you know, at that speed, you know, you do that, what's going to happen is, and a lot of people don't understand this, it's going to, you know, your barrel's going to get hot.
Yeah.
It's going to melt your barrel. And then that gun is useless. It is destroyed. You're going to destroy that firearm.
It's a pipe bomb waiting to happen.
That many rounds out of the gun that fast anyway.
Yeah.
You know, whether you're using bump, whether you're using a rubber band, whether you're using your belt loop, whatever you're doing.
Yeah.
If you're firing that many rounds out of a gun, you know, in succession at that fast, you're going to melt the barrel and you're going to destroy the gun. So you would think the anti-gun people are like, yeah, use a bump stock so you can destroy your gun.
Yeah. Give them away with a gun.
Yeah, but people are so uneducated. They don't have a clue about firearms. And so they're like, oh, bump stocks, it does this. And they don't know the concept of it.
Well, and, you know, going back to the lawsuit, how do you even...
And that's why I support it, because I want you to fire with a... I want you to use your gun and fire with a bump stock. Yeah. That way you come back to me, you buy more guns. See, it's good for gun sales.
It's not the bump stock that he wants to sell.
No, I want to sell you another gun because you're going to destroy your gun.
That's right.
See, anti-gun community is so stupid, they just don't get it.
Well,
I'm a gun salesman.
That's what you do, quite literally. Now, what is it like to even consider, like I said in the promo online, like to suddenly wake up one day and just go, this is too much. The way that our government is passing laws or saying that they're passing laws or restricting things, passing regulations on stuff, extrajudicially, how do you come to the point that you just wake up and call your lawyer and go, I want to sue the federal government?
Yeah, because when I realized that, I talked to different people that I know that are close to me, and they said, you know, Mike, you know, what's going to happen with this? I have this device. I'm like, really? I was actually shocked at the people that actually had this device.
Yeah.
And they're like, hey, I have
this
device.
It's like a $30, $40 accessory.
You know, and I'm like, really? You know, why would you have that device? I said, well, because I wanted to get one. I was like, okay. And so they're like, you know, what's going to happen? Does this mean I'm going to be a felon? I was like, yeah.
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 As if you have it and you don't turn it in, that's how that works.
They're like, well, it's not serialized. How do they track it? Well, I was like, they can't track it, but if for some reason they come to your home, you know, for any reason, and they find that device in your home, it's in your vehicle, whatever, you're a felon. You're going to get convicted. You're done. You're going to lose your gun rights forever because of this little piece, this part doesn't even have a serial number on it. And so that made me realize that someone needs to stand up for the little guy. You know, it's not about me. It's not about for the store, because I'm not suing them in the capacity of Central Texas Gunworks. I'm suing the federal government, the DOJ, the ATF, and the different directors of those departments under Michael Cargill, my individual self.
Yeah.
So it's for the people. It's for the people of Texas. It's saying, hey, you know, here we are in Texas, the Lone Star State. You know, what starts in Texas changes the world. And we're saying, hey, this has got to stop. You know, this is home of the Alamo. This is where we have, you know, the flag that says come and take it. Yeah. You know, so someone needs to stand up and say, you know what? Come and take it. And so, you know, I decided that, you know what? I'm going to be that person. I'm going to be the one, you know, the Texas State Rifle Association. They're supposed to be the rifle association, the gun association for the state of Texas. They didn't stand up. They didn't say a word. I thought the National Rifle Association would stand up and say a word. None of these organizations said anything. They haven't done anything. Not one lawsuit. Yeah. Not one document. Not a statement. Nothing. So I say, you know what? Fine, little old Michael Cargill, the black gay gun store owner in Austin, Texas, will stand up for everyone in the state of Texas and this country.
Don't forget Log Cabin Republican in there.
That's right.
Because that's my favorite. That's the one that, like, it really is just like, you're not even, you're some kind of polygon, but it's not a square, it's not a box. Like, yeah, you know. When people find out after they've listened to episodes, man, I love listening to Michael Cargill. Wow. You know, and then they find out, like, oh my God, he's a black gay Republican gun store owner. Like, what the? Like, their head is normally just lost for a minute. There is no box in which to contain that description of modern society.
And they're not many Republicans or conservatives. They're more right. On the right-hand side of me when it comes to guns.
No.
You find me a Republican and conservative that's more right of me, and let me tell you, you need to elect that person president.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, name him God. Because there's no more on the right. No one is on the right-hand side of me when it comes to guns.
Well, and you know me. I don't really ascribe to a party. I vote my conscience. To me, most of the things that you say, Michael, make absolute sense. Whether you're a libertarian, whether you're a liberal, Republican, Democrat, conservative, doesn't matter to me. I don't want an agency enforcing things that they legally can enforce.
Right.
It was kind of like one of the big stands I took with Dudes and Beer was I didn't like the fact that under net neutrality, control of the internet was given to the FCC, whose whole purview is the writing and licensing of airwave licenses.
No, we're so comfortable with giving the federal government with so much power. You know,
Rewrote their charter to include the internet, but no.
Yeah.
Now we're just going to consider the internet part of broadcast.
Ooh.
And that makes it awfully dangerous. I mean, I pop up on a lot of filters when it comes to social media, especially LinkedIn. I see that regularly with some of the stuff I
get upset with different mediums. I get upset with Facebook because they block people and do things. Mm-hmm. I get upset with Twitter because they do that. But you know what? It is honestly, in the end, it's their right because it's their platform. Sure. And so you allow them to do that. Sure. And then you know what's going to happen? Someone's going to come up with another platform that's going to be even better. And they're going to allow you to express yourself. You know, if that happens, then you know what? Leave Facebook. Leave Twitter. Go to that other platform. Because it's coming. It's going to happen. And because
it's happening.
These mediums right now, they're trying to silence voices. And as they block people, if you block all the conservative voices, you're just going to have liberal voices on that medium. Something else is going to pop up. I guarantee you. Because people are going to want to spend their money somewhere else.
Yep. absolutely true. And I know, do you guys have videos up on YouTube, things like that?
Yes.
At Central Texas Gunworks?
Mm-hmm.
You should really check out Breach.TV. They're actually local here to Austin. They monetize from like view number one. Great stuff. Good, hungry audience. Go check them out, everybody. Breach.TV. We're actually partnered with them. They do not regulate content in that way. So, yeah, they are all about the Second Amendment and being able to get that kind of content out there.
Nice.
So definitely a venue for you to check out as far as that goes. What can you, I guess, I don't want you to give people legal advice.
Which I can't.
You can't. And I wouldn't even ask a lawyer to give people legal advice on the air. but how does one go about, should they have a suit that's proper? Should they have something that they want to bring to light like that, Michael? And highlight in the government, really? And but I know you ascribe to the concept as well. It's a worthwhile goal to maintain, because if anything, it sets the precedent.
What's
it sets the legal precedent of, hey, somebody out there isn't standing for this. You know, now it's at least going to be in front of a few state Supreme Courts that somebody put this issue out there. And when the debate does come to a national level, at least then what you put out there is a legal precedent. At least it was heard by a few state courts. You know, what can you tell people that are looking to make that difference, that are looking to take up their legal means with the federal government and hold them to the flame, hold them to task?
Yeah, it's actually pretty difficult, because with anything, you need money.
Yeah.
And it takes money to bring, you know, this, you know, things like this forward. I was looking at a tweet from the Democratic National Committee where they're saying that, hey, they're now going to determine who's going to actually participate in different debates as far as the Democrats are concerned for president by way of their finance report. And I thought, my goodness.
Wow.
That is the saddest thing I've ever heard of in my life.
Doesn't matter what your platform is, you got to hit this.
It's going to
hit this number.
They're going to make a difference. Who the person that's going to participate in a debate for the Democratic ticket for president, it all matters on their finance report, what they're making. I thought, that is sad, because Democratic Party is the party that's supposed to be the party of the, you know, the little guy.
Center left.
Right.
Center left.
Right. And so yeah. I was like, wow, you're the exact opposite. It's all about money. And so it takes money. Just like with anything, you know, people that have a good attorney can afford a good attorney. They get off on certain charges in certain cases.
Sure.
You know, if you're charged with something, if you don't have a good attorney, you're not paying that attorney some nice chunk of change, you're going to get out of trouble there.
Yeah.
And that's what it takes, unfortunately. So I was lucky to call out on my radio show anyone within the sound of my voice, you know, that in Texas, we needed help. We were not getting help from the National Rifle Association. We were not getting help from the Texas State Rifle Association. I said, we need help. There are thousands of, you know, Texans in Texas that actually had bump stocks, and they did not want to give them up, and they needed help. They wanted to keep them. They did not want the federal government to take them. So I said, you know, someone needs to step forward and give us some help to fight this case. And so luckily, this law firm out of D.C., they're called the New Civil Liberties Alliance. They actually stepped forward. They say, you know what, Michael Cargill? You know, they called me up on a Friday afternoon and said, you know,
we can help you. Lightest business day possible for you.
Yeah. It's funny because on that Monday night at midnight, bump stocks were going to be banned. They called me on Friday afternoon and said, hey, we can help you. We have the money. We have the funding. We have the power to take this, you know, and the funding to take this all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court. I said, oh, my God. You know, yeah, what do I sign? And so they say, we're going to draft up the contracts. We're going to email those to you, fax those to you, whatever. You sign it, you read it, sign it. And then, you know, Monday, we're going to draft up. We're going to draft up the order, you know, all weekend long. They work all weekend Saturday, all day Sunday.
Wow.
To draft the lawsuit so they can file it by 4:45 p.m. on Monday. You know, in district court, in federal district court in Austin, Texas. So the Western District of Texas. And we filed that lawsuit, you know, just before the ban went into effect. So that, you know, not just me, not just Texans, but it's for everyone in the United States. All gun owners. Lovers of the Second Amendment.
Well, and that's what I definitely want people in the audience to understand. Is it was not a gun store owner saying, hey, here's an accessory that I make money on. They're trying to ban it. Hell no to that.
No, because that's something that I sold. No, I didn't sell a lot of them. So yeah, I can't come forward. I cannot come forward in court and say, hey, you're taking money from me because I sold a lot of these. That's not true at all.
You've taken 22% of my income.
Not at all. Yeah. No. This wasn't something that I sold a lot of. I sold, you know, very few.
Yeah.
You know, and so this is something I'm suing in the capacity of me, myself, Michael Cargill, personally, not the business or anything like that. I'm saying, hey, you know, this is me. These are my bump stocks. I own them and I want to keep them.
Yeah.
Veteran. And so does every other American in the United States.
Veteran who says this is not what I signed up to defend.
Yeah, I served 12 in the United States Army. And so this is, you know, this man, it's just sad. This is a sad day that a Republican president, a conservative, you know, was responsible for banning this part.
Granted, you left the air quotes out there with Republican. Sorry. I cued in way early in the election to the fact that the Democratic candidate was wearing red and the Republican one was wearing blue. That was just one of those, like, wow, that's just like subliminally right in front of your face. So, and, you know, it, like we were saying, it's just the fact of government overstepping its bounds, government definitely saying that we're going to regulate something that we made legal and have not technically made illegal.
Yeah.
By any law. We haven't made them illegal. We're just going to let an agency say, if you own them, you're a criminal.
And we're demanding a jury trial. You know, I want a jury of my peers to come forward and tell me, you know, that the federal government can walk into your house and say, you know what, that dildo that you own, or, you know, whatever device, that oven, that stove, that blender, you know, whatever device that you own in your home, you know what? And by the way, dildos have killed more people than bump stocks.
Wow.
Go ahead and look that up. So let's say the federal government decide they're going
to
walk into your home.
I'm fighting the urge to Google now, Michael
Google
Cargill.
It. It's like this. I tell people long.
I'm doing it.
Google.
I'm doing it.
Dildos have killed more people than bump stocks. The federal government walks into your house. Oh, the federal government walks into your house and they say, you know what? Dildos are now banned because the amount of people they've killed, and we're going to confiscate them. You're going to turn them in, and we're not going to, you know, compensate you for them. And they're illegal, and you're a felon if you don't turn them in. That's what we're talking about here.
Well, and
whatever device, pick whatever you love, whatever you like, and the federal government is going to ban that, take it, confiscate it, make you destroy it, not going to compensate you for it, and it's illegal and you're a felon.
Well, and this comes down to a topic that is near and dear to my heart here in the great state of Texas, which is campus carry, which I have personally seen you online go and defend to the state Congress, things like that. It was passed for a reason. Students passed it pretty unanimously. And the Cox Not Glocks campaign, I had to bring it up because that's the first thing that popped into my head. I remember going out and shooting B-roll a long time ago and assembling a B-roll footage thing of the Cox Not Glocks campaign on campus. Mm-hmm. And it was one of those that just, it really blew my mind. The whole concept of, I feel threatened by somebody having a conceal and carry permit.
Mm-hmm.
As though you would know that person walking down the street next to you has a conceal and carry permit. It's not a permit like an old school hunting permit that you have to wear on the back of a vest and publicly display your permit. It's not an open carry situation where it's like, look at me, I'm heading to Bio 101 with me and my Glock. No. So, like, the only people still open carrying on campus are police officers.
Correct.
Exactly. You can't open carry. So what are you threatened by?
Right.
You're literally threatened by the idea?
Here's our ignorance.
You're threatened by the idea that somebody may have a gun.
Here's how ignorant...
Which would exist with or without the concealed carry on campus.
Blatantly ignorant the Cox Not Glocks people are. They're so ignorant. They don't know that ever since 1995, you know, if you had a handgun license, you can actually conceal carry a handgun on a college campus. You just could not go into the building.
That's right.
Ever since 1995, that's how ignorant they are. So that means that every time you've ever seen me at an event outside, you know, in the quad, you know, at UT campus, you know, you've actually seen, I've actually had a gun on me.
Sure.
Probably two. Most likely two.
I've never seen you
at every event. And so you just can't carry it inside the building. Once campus carry pass. In 2016, on August the 1st, that means that that person with a handgun license can now conceal carry a handgun inside the building of a college campus. So when these ignorant people came up and they said, you know what? We don't want guns on our campus. Well, guns have always been on your campus since 1995.
Yeah.
And you're a fool because you don't understand the Texas law.
They haven't not been on your campus. And that was kind of my thing. It was like, so wait a minute. You're just scared that somebody might have a gun, period. Doesn't matter if it's a conceal and carry permit, you know, or that in order to get that permit, somebody had to take a class, go get certified, pass through more than your average rung of background checks. I'm getting ready for my LTC myself, and, you know, it's not like the same background check that you go through to go purchase a firearm, you know? To me, it was one of those like, wow, this is really taking something to the extreme. and to have seen you go online, defend campus carry the way you have, especially with the story of your grandmother, and to know that that is what brought you into the realm
of political activism. You know, who would want, you know, a lady that has been assaulted on a college campus to not be able to protect herself? You know, you're talking, you know, they're in college trying to get their education. Something has happened to them where, you know, let's say the life has been sucked from them. And they're saying, you know what? I don't want that to happen again. Those ladies deserve to protect themselves.
Yeah.
They deserve to make that stop.
Here's the thing. I work campus safety as a dispatcher, things like that. Even on the college campus I worked at, you're looking at least 5 minutes response time before somebody's going to be able to get to you. Wherever you are calling in with your emergency.
And what's sad is before campus carry actually passed, I had several ladies that were assaulted, sexually assaulted, raped on college campuses in Texas, send a letter to the administration to get permission to get a license. Because another thing that a lot of people don't know, that in our Texas Penal Code in section 46.03, paragraph 1, very last line, ever since 1995, it is said that the institution has the authority to give anyone written permission to carry. So your college campuses, ever since 1995, had the authority to give anyone, a rape victim, sexual assault victim, anyone permission stalking to carry a victim. Gun, get a license to carry a gun on a college campus. They refused to give them that authority.
As long as you could pass any state background check that was required to own that firearm locally, anything like that, they could absolutely past that, unrestrict that access for you.
That is correct. And so it's been there. And so the universities have refused to give anyone permission to carry. And the funny thing is, in Austin, Texas, they don't even test the rape kits.
No.
Your Austin Police Department, they are the worst in the country when it comes to testing rape kits.
That is.
So not only do they not care, not only are they not investigating, not only are they not testing the rape kits, and they're trying, and there's a whole news story about them changing the classification just so they can close a case. Yeah. So they can say, hey, let's just close this case and let's just change it to something else. Yeah. We're not going to investigate it. You know, they don't even care about the ladies. But they also, not only that, they don't even want to give you the tools that you need to protect yourself.
Yeah.
Ladies.
Well, and on that note, it's horrifying knowing what a lot of our local police departments do. It's great to know that there are individuals like you, forget business owners like you, Michael, individuals like you out there that are saying, I will personally take on the federal government. I see the fact that they are overstepping their bounds here. And whether or not people agree with you on the stance that you're taking, I agree with you on the stance that you're taking. I know most of my audience agrees with you on the stance that you're taking.
All I'm trying to do is empower you to empower yourself to protect yourself.
Yeah. That's it. Quite honestly, firearms be damned. It's more about holding the federal government accountable and saying, this is how you have said that you will legally pass laws and you are not doing so. And that's really the point of the lawsuit, is to say, hey, federal government, straighten your act up. You want to regulate something, feel free to take the proper legal means by which to regulate something.
It's robbery. It's theft.
Yeah.
It's theft.
Yeah.
By the federal government.
Well, and much like we were saying, the important thing...
It's not theft, it's robbery.
Yeah.
They're saying, give it to me.
Well, and...
Give it to me. If you don't...
That's just it.
Here's what's going to happen.
The one that started it for me many years ago...
It's almost aggravated robbery.
...was the passing of universal health care. And more than anything, the mandate that said... if you don't have this, you will be taxed. And I was like, yo, wait a minute. Did you just say you're going to tax people for not making the decision that you want them to make?
And honestly, you know, that's a whole nother subject. Universal health care sounds great. That's a whole nother topic, the whole nother show. Because it sounds great. You're thinking, man, this would be wonderful. Universal health care. Everyone should get health care. Well, you know what? Let's look at the VA. Here in Austin, Texas, last week.
From a vet, folks. From a vet.
I served 12 years in the Army. I wouldn't step foot in the VA office.
Yeah.
I wouldn't step foot in the VA hospital.
Yeah.
Do you know that last week in Austin, Texas, people, a veteran walked into the VA and in front of everyone in the lobby, hundreds of people shot himself in the heart, not the head, not the face, in the heart because of your universal background check for veterans.
Yeah. It's a pretty sad state, and I remember many years ago, whenever I first met you, Michael, was when they were officially saying that veterans would be the lone wolves, that they were the ones that we needed to lock down, they were the ones that we needed to keep an eye on, all kinds of stuff, and it is absolutely amazing to me where all of 5 to 7 years down the road. From that point, we have come to this, and we've come to the point of things like this happening, where it's okay to just start regulating something that's not technically illegal, that was actively made legal. And if you want to regulate it, feel free to make it illegal again. Because it was never illegal to begin with. We made it a legal item. And now without making it illegal, you're saying it's illegal to possess it. And you can't do that. Much like we were saying, the idea here at the very least is that courts heard the case and it sets a legal precedent. The problem with that happening, folks, is that it sets a bad legal precedent. When that happens, that allows for the legal short run by the federal government to say, well, we were able to do this before in a case of extreme unction. Why can't we do it now? And not always the best, most regulated thing, not always exactly what the majority of the population wants. So I thank you on behalf of our audience, Michael, for going out, for taking the time to hold the government accountable, for passing laws, doing things like this, trying to regulate objects and actions without federal law allowing them to do so. So,
oh, absolutely. You know, and you know, it's sad that we come to this point. It's sad that we have to spend money to do this. It's sad that we had, you know, we have to stand up and fight against our government. But as long as people know, you know, that's what the Second Amendment is for. The Second Amendment is so that we can protect all of our rights. And the Second Amendment is for us protecting ourselves against those, you know, those people that are up there that don't have, you know, our intentions, you know, in their mind. So, you know, it's, yeah, it's not for hunting. It's not for, you know, fishing or, you know, other purposes. It's actually, you know, our right to protect ourselves against our government.
Yeah, no. And like, that's one of my favorite things about our state capitol is there's a great quote there from Sam Houston talking about the Second Amendment, saying that, like, let's not forget that that was written to keep a tyrannical government from being in line, and that the whole reason for keeping it is to maintain freedom from a tyrannical government. Mm. There are only like 23 words inside of that Second Amendment. But it's so entirely well written. And yeah, there is that in order to maintain a well-regulated militia. Mm. Are you ready to go serve your state militia should you be called? Should that happen, in order to maintain a well-regulated militia, folks, you know what that takes? That takes you knowing how to properly use your firearm. That takes you being trained to properly shoot, being trained to know how to maintain that firearm so that it is, much like yourself, in a state of readiness. I'm not saying go out and join like your local militia group that's like out in the woods practicing stuff all the time. But what I'm saying is you yourself should be ready. Tell everybody where they can go, Michael, to be ready. Where can they go to take their gun safety courses? Where can they go with their families to actively take? I'm a big proponent of, if you have a family, especially 8 to 10 year olds, that's prime time to start teaching them. I know I got my first rifle at probably about 12 years old, something like that. But where can people go to check out family gun training, safety courses, LTC classes, all that kind of stuff?
You know, definitely go to our website, CentralTexasGunWorks.com. We do firearm safety courses there. We have beginner pistol classes. So if you're trying to learn how to shoot for the first time, maybe someone taught you, you didn't get a good feeling from that, you know, definitely sign up for our beginner pistol class. In that class, we cover pistols. We cover two different types of pistols, as a matter of fact. In the classroom, we cover about an hour and a half worth of safety. Then we take you out to the gun range and teach you how to shoot. And then we have the firearm safety course, which is an hour and a half inside the classroom, covering two different types of pistols. We do a .22 caliber, a 9mm. Then we graduate you to an AR-15 and a 12-gauge shotgun.
Nice.
So the firearm safety course, that's a good course. And we take out to the gun range and we teach you how to shoot all of those guns. And then we have the license to carry handgun course, where you can get your handgun license. We cover all the laws in the state of Texas, where you can, where you cannot take that handgun, what you can, what you cannot do with that handgun. And definitely sign up for a class, because I tell you, it happens every single week where I would get someone that will give me a call, walk into the gun store, and they'll say, "Mike, this happened to me. Now I'm in trouble. What do I do now?" And I say, "Well, why didn't you take my class? Why didn't you come to me first? You know, and find out, you know, what you're supposed to do, and then why didn't you get a legal plan or something like that?" So, you know, it always comes up every single week. I cannot stress that enough. You'd be surprised how many phone calls I get on a weekly basis from people that get themselves in trouble and never took a class, didn't learn what the laws were.
Yeah.
And I can't stress that out enough.
Much like you go out and you take driver's safety. before you step, literally step foot behind the control of a 3/4-ton automobile, you should do the same thing with a firearm, folks.
And it's your individual responsibility.
Yes.
You know, this is not something what we need our state government, our federal government to make you do. This is something you should do on your own.
Yeah.
Because you're going to be responsible. You're going to be held responsible, whether it's civil or criminal. You're going to be held responsible. So if you don't want to be held responsible for it, you don't want to get yourself in trouble.
That's right.
You might want to take a class.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for coming on, explaining the legal process that is involved with suing the federal government, with getting involved with that. Thank you so much for everything that you do. Thank you so much for sharing everything tonight. Matthew, thank you so much for coming, being a part of the show this evening. While you were online checking out Central Texas Gunworks as well as 1370 AM, where you can check out Come and Talk It on Sunday afternoons. What time is that, Michael?
Sunday from 4 to 5 p.m. Come and Talk It.
There you have it. Come and Talk It. Come check it out, folks, while you're online. Check out the Dudes and Beer podcast. Dudesandbeer.com is the website. That's where you can check out all the great episodes. You can also check us out on the HC Universal Network, hcuniversalnetwork.com. You can download the apps, check in, chime in, all that good stuff. Check us out online. Check us out on social media. Until next time, if you can't be good at it. Take care of yourselves and each other.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Dudes and Beer podcast. To listen to our audio streams or chat with us live, download the official Dudes and Beer app for Android and iDevices, available on Google Play and iTunes markets. For more episodes, content, and information, visit us online at dudesandbeer.com. You can also find our episodes on Breach.tv, iHeartRadio, Spreaker, SoundCloud, iTunes, YouTube, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast service. Dudes and Beer is a proud member of the HC Universal Network family of podcasts. For more about our sponsors and other podcasts on this network, visit hcuniversalnetwork.com. Thanks for listening, everybody, and until next time, drink responsibly.